I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, please, chapter number 21. And we're going to read several verses a day concerning the triumphant entry of Christ. It's called in the Christian world Palm Sunday. That day where Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, and they're waving the palm branches and singing and shouting, "Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord." And until you've read the whole story, you would not believe that that very same crowd that on Palm Sunday is welcoming the arrival of the Messiah. 5 days later, say, "Crucify him." And they nail him to a cross. But I'm glad it may be Wednesday, but Sundays are coming. And I love this triumphant entry of Christ. And I hope you know today that everything we believe and practice in the New Testament can find its root or its seed form in the Old Testament. Things are not in the New Testament just so they're there. When you see this triumphant entry, it is a fulfillment of Zechariah 9. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. "You daughters of Zion shall see the king coming in on a colt." God knew what he was doing when he wrote the Bible. And even when you see them waving palm branches, if you'll go back to Leviticus 23 at the Feast of the Tabernacle, on that seventh day they would wave palm branches before the Lord. What is the tabernacle? God dwelling with his people. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." We ought to be rejoicing today that God came to us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when they're singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," it is a fulfillment of more Bible prophecy. Psalm 118. In Psalm 118, you find that great text, "This is the day the Lord hath made." And it wasn't just any day, but the day, prophesying that day that he would come and bear the sins of many. And how they would cry on his way into the gates of the city, "Lord, save us." And when you look at that "Lord, save us" in the Hebrew, it's the equivalent of our word in the English Bible, Hosanna. Savior, save us. Does anybody remember when you cried out to Hosanna? Savior, save us. And I love the Word of God, how powerful and inspired and perfect that it is. I love the providence of God. We've been preaching from that verse in Hebrews 10:25. Exhorting one another so much the more. And we've been preaching on more in 24. Some things in 24 we need more of. We've just been working our way through the alphabet. We've preached on more anointing, more blessing, more compassion. And I looked down this week and I realized that we're on the H letter today. Man, you can take that letter H and preach a month of Sundays. You could talk about humility, how we need more humility. Now, don't do like that one fella. They gave him an award for humility, and he displayed it, and they took it away from him. You'll get that after a while. You could do the letter H and preach on hospitality. You could preach on the word hope. You could preach on the word help. You could preach on the word heaven. You could preach on the word happy. But I thought it was amazing that on our little journey, Palm Sunday, we got the letter H. And here in this triumphant entry of Christ, we've got an H word in the Bible used 6 times in the King James, the word Hosanna. And so I want to preach today on more Hosanna. Now, oftentimes the word hallelujah and the word hosanna are used synonymously. And they do have somewhat of the same meaning. It's a declaration of adoration and appreciation of praise. But where hallelujah is praising the Lord, glory, that rules and reigns, hosanna is praising and adoring the Lord who redeems and delivers and saves. Well, glory. Man, if you get a case of the good, happy, and go, hallelujah. You know, you ought to just try that. Ready? You ready? Hallelujah. Didn't that feel good? You want to do it one more time? Hallelujah. Now, if you're from North Carolina, it's hallelujah. You have an ER on the end of it. But don't that sound good? Say it with me. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you just said, praise the Lord who rules and reigns. Can we do that one more time? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord who rules and reigns. I wonder if there's anybody glad in this crazy world we're living in 2024. He is the Lord who rules and reigns. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord who rules and reigns. But when you get into the Hosanna realm, glory, you're still adoring and edifying and praising the Lord. But you've gone from the Lord who rules and reigns to praise the Lord who redeems and delivers and saves. And I wonder if we got anybody here today. You are glad that He is the Lord that delivers, redeems, and saves. So if you think that hallelujah felt good, let's do a hosanna. You ready? Hosanna. Didn't that feel good? Let's do that one more time. You ready? Hosanna. Oh, let's do it one more time. Say it like you mean it. You ready? Hosanna. Now turn to somebody and say, you just said, praise the Lord who delivers and saves and redeems. And I just want to tell you, I'm glad the Lord that lives in my heart is the one who rules and reigns. And Hosanna, I'm glad the Lord I serve today is the one that redeems and delivers and saves from sin. Hallelujah. Hosanna to the Lord who redeems and delivers and saves. Look in our text this morning, the triumphant entry of Christ. Matthew chapter number 21. By the way, this is one of the events of our Lord that's covered in all four of the Gospels. Now, if you don't think doxology and praise is important, it is covered in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All the miracles are not recorded in all four Gospels. All the parables are not recorded in all four Gospels. But the death and the burial and the resurrection and the triumphant entry of Christ is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Oh, let me lay this on you. And my preaching time is going to get tucked up with my teaching time. But if you don't run me off, we'll pick it up next Sunday. Maybe some of them once time of years need to hear somebody say, Hosanna! But even the birth of Christ is not mentioned in all four of the Gospels. You find the birth of Christ in Matthew, the birth of Christ in Luke, but it's not in Mark and it's not in John. But the triumphant entry of Christ, His death upon the cross, His getting out of that cemetery on one Easter Sunday morning is in all four of these Gospels. Because, ladies and gentlemen, He is the living, exalted, Hosanna, the Savior who delivers, saves, and redeems. And so in our gospel today, Matthew 21, verse number 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man ask, I love this, and if any man say aught unto you, you say the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send them. And all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Oh, listen to this. Meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the fold of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded and brought the ass and the colt, put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And verse 9, and the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, you ready? Here it is. Hosanna! If they'd have said hallelujah, that'd have been all right, because he is the Lord that rules and reigns. Here they're crying out, save us, Lord. Redeem us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Praise the one who saves and redeems and delivers. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you've got to say this last line out with me together. You ready? Hosanna in the highest. And just when I thought I had counted all the hosannas, my eyes fell down to verse number 15, and there it is again. Boy, when I saw this, it blessed me immensely. Look at what it says in verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, listen to this tender line, and the children crying in the temple. Woo! And the children crying in the temple, saying, you want to do it again? You ready? Hosanna to the Son of David. And oh, look what happened to the religious crowd. They were sore displeased. But I want to say to the religious crowd and the non-religious crowd and every crowd in between, he is, hallelujah, the Lord that rules and reigns. And he is, Hosanna, the Lord that delivers, redeems, and saves. As Jesus is coming down from the Mount of Olives, as he is descending into the city of Jerusalem, as he is riding on the back of that little donkey, as they are crying, hallelujah, Hosanna, praise the one who delivers and saves. Little did they know that's what he is on his way to do. Now, they've got the Roman Empire bondage on their mind. They're just like they were in Egyptian bondage and Babylonian captivity and Assyrian captivity. They need a deliverer. Now they're living under the hard thumb of the Roman law, and they're crying, we need a savior. We need a deliverer. We need a redeemer. And I want to say, honey, you're about to get what you ask for, because the only Savior and the only Redeemer and the only Emancipator and the only Savior is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I say He is worthy of an Hosanna. Blessed be the one who redeems, delivers, and saves. And as they are crying, oh, save us, deliver us, redeem us, I want to say, children, that is what He is on His way to do. You say, what do you think we need more of? Well, I think we need more attention drawn to the Savior. I believe we need more singing about the Savior. I believe we need more teaching about the Savior. I believe we need more preaching about the Savior. I believe we need more worship and praise and adoration that's pointed towards the Savior. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about me, and it's not about you, and it's not about a singer, and it's not about a preacher, and it's not about a religious figure, but it's all about Jesus, the Messiah, the Chosen, the Hosanna, the Hallelujah. It's all about Him, because He is the only one that declared, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I just want to say to that crowd, if you think it's something that that donkey has lifted him up and drew that crowd to praise him, you wait four chapters later when they take him to Calvary and they lift him on that cross. And the magnetism of the gospel spreads to the four corners of the earth and draws sinners, men and women and boys and girls, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy, you're not worthy, but there is one that is high and lifted up, and His name is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior, the one that delivers, saves, and redeems. Hosanna. Let's say hallelujah. You ready? Hallelujah. Praise the one who lives and redeems and rules and reigns. But how about a Hosanna? You ready? Hosanna. Praise be to the one who delivers, redeems, and saves. I see Jesus as He's riding that donkey, and they're calling, Savior, save us, Redeemer, redeem us, Emancipator, free us. Oh, I see some wonderful things about the Savior. I see some qualities about the Savior as He's riding in to Jerusalem. Lord, have mercy. Number one, you'll see in the text, He is the prophesied Savior. In other words, He just didn't come up overnight and saddle up that donkey and ride into town. He was God's Redeemer, God's Savior, God's Emancipator, God's Deliverer from the foundation of the world. Before God ever laid the mud seals of planet Earth, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world. Can I say it like this? He is not an accident nor an afterthought. Can I say today that Jesus Christ is not God's plan B? I heard a very ignorant man say the other day that when Adam fell in the garden, he was what Jesus was supposed to be. And so when Adam fell in the garden, Jesus Christ was God's plan B. And I just want to say this as humbly and as nice as I can. If that man really believes that, he will not go to heaven when he leaves this world. What you think about the church is one thing. What you think about me is one thing. What you think about denominations is one thing. But ladies and gentlemen, no man enters heaven unless he realizes and accepts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God manifested in the flesh. Because Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and the foundation of our forgiveness. The water can't redeem you. Church membership can't redeem you. But Hosanna, Jesus can. He's the prophesied Savior. And everything Jesus did, everything Jesus taught, every miracle Jesus was performing, formed from the place he was born to the place he lived to the crowd he preached to what he preached to the donkey he rode to the hill where he died to the tomb where he got up, the very mount that he ascended, every aspect of Jesus Christ was prophesied before he ever got here. And I want to say, if God got it right about the first coming, then Hosanna, Hosanna, he's got it right about his second coming. He is the prophesied Savior, the one that was foretold. That's why he would say over and over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, boys, I'm doing this that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I had a young man say to me not long ago, Brother Joe, how can I trust the Bible? How can I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is the miracle, holy book of God? And I said, son, there are a myriad of reasons, but here's the only one you really need. Just study the life of Christ, the prophecies and predictions concerning Christ, and a book that accurate and a book that right and a book that inerrant. I mean, brother, if it can prophesy 2,000 years before it happens, a virgin shall conceive and a son shall be born in Bethlehem. He will teach in the temple. He will ride on a donkey. He will pay the sin debt. He'll arise from the dead. If the Bible's that accurate enough, it's accurate enough to tell an old drunk and an old sinner and an old hellion, come to Jesus, trust Jesus, believe the gospel. I'm glad we can rely on this book called the Bible. Jesus is the promised Savior. Think about this. As he is coming down the mountain, he is the condescending Savior. Remember I told you a while ago that this triumphant entry is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Go home today and read Luke's account of it. Now all of the Gospels tell us that he's coming from the Mount of Olives. But when Luke tells his version of it, he uses two words that ought to make a Methodist shout. It says, and as he was descending from the Mount of Olives, it says, as he drew nigh unto them, they were not going to Jesus. Jesus was a-going to them. They were not climbing the mountain to get to Jesus. They were not ascending trying to get to Jesus. Jesus was condescending, going down to them and drawing nigh. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, for 4,000 years, man had done everything he could to ascend and get to where God was. And after 4,000 years of total and utter failure, it looked like man had no hope because he could never get as high and holy as God. But early one Christmas morning, hallelujah, we didn't ascend to him, but he condescended to us. Came down to where we were, got low where we were, and I love that word nigh, and he drew nigh. I believe old Squire Parson said it the best when he said, that was a gulf fixed, and I couldn't get to God, but when I couldn't go to where Jesus was, He came to me. He came to me. That's why the angel said when he's born, name him Emmanuel. That means God with us. That's the Shekinah glory of God dwelt in that tabernacle. The Shekinah holy, raw, sovereign power of God dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad when we couldn't go to him, he came to us. He's the condescending Savior. And I'm glad he drew nigh unto us. Number three in the text, I love this. He is the humble Savior. Notice how he came. Well, let me say this. Notice how he could have come. You sort of mean by that, he's sovereign. He's the king. He's the creator. He's God. He can do anything he wants to. But he didn't come riding a stallion. He will, but not yet. He didn't come riding a golden chariot like a king. He came lowly and humble, riding on the lowest of the low, a beast, a colt, a donkey. Kings don't ride donkeys. See if I can put it in our language. Here is a Rolls Royce. And a bicycle. I want to say Dodge, but some of our Dodge members are good tithers, and I don't want to offend you. Some of you used to work for General Motors, and I don't want to offend you. Some of you like Toyotas and Hondas, them rice burners, and I don't want to offend you. We even got one member's got a moped. I don't want to offend them. You know what you need, Roland? Bless God, you need a moped. You need a moped, son, and some gloves and goggles and a hat. And the day you give him one of them, I'll quit driving. It'd be more dangerous than my daughter Joanna behind the wheel of a moving vehicle. And God in heaven knows they'll have that in the tribulation period. Oh, he didn't come on the Mercedes. He didn't come on the Cadillac. He didn't come on them Dodges. And by the way, when I was a little boy, a pickup truck, it's something you picked up on the side and hauled your cows in and your dogs in and your dirt in. Son, trucks now, man, $150,000. Can you imagine going and getting one of them high country ones? Like some of these rich people in our church got them red, big old pickup trucks in the parking lot. Yeah, you know where the money's at. Come on over there a minute. Say amen right there. And I drive through our parking lot on Sunday. I'm thinking, to be a bunch of poor Baptists, some of them show all riding in style. But Roland, I want you to know you're welcome to park your moped right beside any old bicycle or any old vehicle in this place. Roland, let me borrow you a little scooter right here just a minute. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, most of us would say that's about the lowest of the lowest transportation. I'll take that back. Miss Arthur's over there this morning with a walker and a cane. Oh, he did not come riding that stallion. He didn't come riding a chariot. He didn't come riding the best. But he came riding on a little old lowly pencil tail coat that nobody thought had anything to do with it. But little did they know. You know why he's not riding a camel? You know why he's not riding an ox? You know why he is specifically riding on a donkey into Jerusalem on his way to be the deliverer and the savior? Because under the Levitical law in the book of Exodus chapter 25, the donkey was the only beast that when it was born under a curse. And if it was a male donkey born under the curse, they were to break his neck and burn his body in the valley where they burnt dead animals. But if the owner had a use for him, he could redeem the little donkey and reverse the curse. So he would go get a, my God, somebody help me right here. So he would go get a spotless lamb and go up to the tabernacle, and he'd say, his life for mine. Kill the little donkey. Don't kill my little donkey. I want to redeem him. I want to reverse the curse. Take this lamb instead. Lord, have mercy. And every one of them, Midwest, every one of them Mediterranean donkeys, every last one of them, if you look down on his back, he's got a lamb this way and a lamb that way. Every donkey in that day from that part of the world had a cross on his back. Now here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody may have to get me down. Saddled up on that thing. And he goes, boys, are you ready to ride? Woo! Are you ready to ride? And he's sitting on the cross on top of the donkey, because he's the Redeemer. He's the one that's going to reverse the curse. He's the one that's called the Lamb of God. That's going to pay. Oh, aren't you glad? Praise God. He'll set up his kingdom, but he didn't come to do that. He'll right the wrongs of the government, but he didn't come to do that. He came to redeem you and I and reverse the curse and save you and I and go to the cross and shed his blood and die for our sin. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who redeems, delivers, and saves. Woo! Because he's the humble Savior, the condescending Savior, the prophesied Savior. He's the preeminent and powerful Savior. Because when they see him on that donkey, they look and go, blessed! What in the world does that mean? That means happy, celebrated, glory. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Notice what they said. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Pilate. In the name of Caesar Augustus. In the name of the priest. In the name of the rabbi. In the name of the prophet. In the name of the Roman Persian Empire. No. He's coming in the name of the Lord. Can I remind you, this is not the priest Savior and the governor Savior and Caesar Savior and Pilate Savior. This is God's Redeemer. This is God's Emancipator. This is God's Savior. He is from heaven and he is God come to earth. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And he's back with all of the authority of heaven. I need to back up and say that one more time. And he's back by the authority of heaven. Because he's the only one that said to the water, be still. And it was. He's the only one that said to the leper, be thou clean. And he was. He's the only one that said to a dead man, come forth. And he came forth. That's why they scratched their heads and looked at one another and said, never a man spake like this man. You know why? He's God's Redeemer. He's God's Emancipator. He's God's Son. He's God's Servant. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, he's the preeminent and powerful Savior. And Jesus is his name. And then lastly, number five, he is the worthy Savior. Worthy of what? Well, in our text, he is worthy to be praised. They ran before him, took their garments, laid them out in the road for the donkey to walk on them. And in fulfillment of Leviticus 25, the Feast of the Tabernacle, God dwelling with us, they got their palm branches. You say, why in the world would they do that? Well, haven't you seen all them movies about how kings and queens are treated? Why, they always roll out the royal garments because their king is worthy enough. Hallelujah. And they don't have any royal garments because they're just a bunch of old poor peasants like you and I. But they said, this is the best we got, and he's worthy of it. He's our king. And they throw their coats in the way and they grab their palm branches and said, hey, we read about the Feast of the Tabernacle. I think we're going to have us one all on our own. And he's walking on them garments and they're waving them palm branches and they are crying with a loud voice, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Can I get an Hosanna? Can I get another good Hosanna? Blessed and praised be the one who saves and redeems and delivers. He is worthy of our praise. You can't adore him too much. You can't lift him up too much. You can't magnify him too much. He's worthy of our praise. But more when I saw this, he is worthy of our service. You know, I told you that little donkey was born with the curse. And he had to be redeemed by a lamb. And most things in life he did was bury burdens or pull heavy loads. But today, it says twice in the text, the Lord hath need of him. God's going to let that donkey do something today. More, I got you, Volkswagen rolling. It's going to be all right. But God's going to do something today than let that boy bear some old burden or pull some heavy load. He's going to let the donkey who was bound to die on his first day he was born. And the only reason why he didn't, he got redeemed by a lamb. Glory. He's going to use this donkey in a special way. He's going to let that donkey get saddled up to the king. And that little donkey that was born with a curse on him, and the only thing he had to look forward to was getting his neck break. Not only does he live, but he gets used. He's got the king on his back. And God lets that little old donkey, born with a curse, carry Jesus. Hey, lift up Jesus. From the Mount of Olives all the way to the city of Jerusalem. And you know what I saw? By the time they covered that donkey with their clothes and saddled Jesus up, you can't see the donkey, but you see the one he's a carrying. Those people need a Savior. They need a redeemer. They need an emancipator. They need someone to set them free. And they've read about him. And they prayed about it. And they've hoped about it. Who would have ever thunk it that a little bitty pencil-tailed donkey is going to be the one that carries Jesus to that town and takes him to his cross? You say, what has that got to do with us? Saddle up to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lift him high and carry him to somebody that needs an encounter with the Savior, with the Redeemer, with the Lord of Glory. Because he's worthy carrying to town. He's worthy lifting him up. He's worthy taking him to somebody who needs him. The best person you can go home with today is saddled up to the king. And the best thing you can take to your workplace Monday when you go is to be saddled up with the King. Now, sad to say, some in the crowd said to Jesus, rebuke them. Tell them to hold their peace. They don't like that. Tell them to be quiet. And I love what Jesus said in the Gospel of John in rendition. He said, let them alone. Because if they don't praise me, I'll get the stones to cry out. But I really do believe, Brother Shane, my favorite line in the triumphant entry is verse 15 of the text. When they saw the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You believe he's worthy of an Hosanna? Praise the Lord, not only the one that rules and reigns, but praise the one who delivers, redeems, and saves. Can we get a good Hosanna? Hosanna. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And then they throw some whipped cream on the Sunday. Hosanna in the highest. Because there's no Savior outside of Jesus Christ. Hosanna. Turn to somebody and say, Hosanna. And say, I just praise the Savior. The one who delivers, redeems, and saves. Let's stand together, Lord. We love you today.